that I realized I loved the platform. I didn't love what was happening with the platform. I loved teaching LinkedIn, but I didn't like what I was seeing out there in terms of what I call the shock and awe teaching of LinkedIn, where people download every single thing they know about the platform and how it's worked for them. And the everyday salesperson, the person that's out in the street, doesn't have the span, the bandwidth to really do that.
Welcome to the Best of Sales Skills podcast. I'm Mark McGuinness, and thank you for listening. Today, we're joined by Bill McCormick. Bill has appeared on this podcast more times than anyone else. Not because I'm desperate for guests, but because he always has something interesting to say. Bill's clever, well thought through, and focused on helping people be good at selling, but good at selling in the right way. In this conversation, we talk about the current situation with LinkedIn and social right now, especially, is LinkedIn dead? So we also talk about echo chambers on LinkedIn and why they're hurting your sales results. We talk about confirmation bias, as well as the current fraud taking place inside the social and digital training space. So we're probably not winning any new friends in that sector. So Bill also shares some strategies and techniques for you to use in 2023. And whilst Bill and I have never met in person, he's one of those connections that I've made on LinkedIn that's developed into a real friendship. And for that, I'm truly grateful. So without further delay, let's jump across to Bill McCormick from Selling From The Heart. All right, so everybody, welcome to the Best of Sales Skills podcast, also called the Boss Podcast. So got a bit of a surprise for us today. Bill McCormick, welcome back. So number four, this is the fourth time you've been in the podcast.
I thought it was three.
Is it? Okay, well, it's three or four.
It's something like that.
Yeah. So you're, even if it is three, you're my most visited guest. What's the word?
That's wow.
Not, yeah. But anyway, so wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. I've never been that. So it's a first. That's awesome. I'm really glad to be here because I really enjoy talking with you. Like, I mean, in the green room, we could have just kept going and going and going. And then we're like, wait, we better record some of this, right?
Yeah. So look, for those who don't know, Bill has got an enormous, enormous focus on social / LinkedIn. And we're going to talk a lot about that. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I think it's fair to say, Bill, and you can just nod if you don't feel the same way. But for me, there's a few people on LinkedIn that I've been able to interact with over the years and treat like a friend. And you're definitely somebody who I have no hesitation in reaching out to ask anything. And I know you're always going to respond, whether that be publicly or privately. So when we talk about creating relationships on LinkedIn, and I think about those relationships, I think about people like yourself. And Phil Gerbershank is probably another one, where mm-hmm. I've never met you, but I feel like you're my buddy.
Yeah. And that's the power of virtual, the power of what we're doing right now, the power of LinkedIn. Listen, I switched companies last year and went to work for a company with two guys and a woman who I had never met in person before. So we started working together in February of 2022. And we met for the first time that I got to hug Larry Levine in November of 2022, and Daryl, and we were all together for a retreat. And 5 years ago, that never would have happened. 5 years ago, I don't think any of us would have ever imagined interviewing for a job, not in person, and then making a switch in companies without actually meeting the people. So it's quite a shift and quite a change. But I think it does show, as you say, the power of LinkedIn, the power of virtual, the power of digital, that we can make these connections and build these relationships. Like I said, 5 years ago, people would probably say, yeah, no, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
We're proof that it does.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But it's not all going to be roses today about LinkedIn, is it?
It definitely will not be.
So, Bill, for those, so some people would have been listening for the whole 3 years and would have, you know about your social selling journey, LinkedIn's trainer, very, very well respected, lots of, you know, corporate classes, very, a real go-to resource for the entire sales community. Others won't. So maybe, and so currently you're working with the guys from Selling from the Heart, which is a great initiative. We can chat a little bit about that. So would you like to share a little bit about where you are now and what you've done previously for a bit of context?
Yeah, that would be great, Mark. So I was in sales way back in the 80s and in the grocery industry here in the US. And back then it wasn't about the quality of service you could provide or how you could serve your client. It was really all about, can I get them tickets to a football game or to something? And I didn't play that game very well. And so I got out of the sales industry. Fast forward to 2013, my wife and I, my wife is in the promotional product space and she worked for somebody and he died. And so we started our own company and I jumped into the sales role because I had sales experience. We quickly discovered LinkedIn to be a place where we could find our clients and our clients could find us. And so I started leveraging LinkedIn basically just as a database to find people and then put them into my sales process. And that led to people asking me, hey, can you teach me how to use LinkedIn? So I started my own company. It was then called Digital Sales Course. It's now called DigiSales. I've hyphened it out. And from there, I met Bryn Tillman and her and I started working together at Social Sales Link. And that happened right up until last year. At the end of 2021, I really had this mixed emotion about social sales training because everybody was doing it. You couldn't scroll Facebook without seeing an ad for social. In fact, I still can't without seeing some kind of social selling training. And it didn't, that term didn't really mean anything. It meant different things to different people. And so I had been part of the Selling from the Heart community for the entire year, participating as a sales professional. Larry Levine and I just, you know, some people you just meet, and Larry and I just connected. And we would regularly meet about once a month, once every 2 weeks, and just kind of complain to each other or, you know, just kind of support one another. You know, hey, this is what's going on in my world. And as I talked about my frustration in what was happening and how I was looking for something different, he invited me to join the folks at Selling from the Heart. And it was my intention then that, okay, I'm not going to talk about LinkedIn anymore. But something happened. People kept reaching out to me and asking questions. And I realized I loved the platform. I didn't love what was happening with the platform. I loved teaching LinkedIn, but I didn't like what I was seeing out there in terms of what I call the shock and awe teaching of LinkedIn, where people download every single thing they know about the platform and how it's worked for them. And the everyday salesperson, the person that's out in the street doesn't have the span, the bandwidth to really do that. And so I'm like, how can we do this? How can I present it in a way that's easier? And it's really meeting them where they're at and saying, how would you like to use it? I was on a call earlier today talking to a company and they just don't need LinkedIn. But we talked about how maybe their partners need it. And so now we're going to approach it from that way. And so I've come down with this idea that there's two points of view of LinkedIn, two worldviews of LinkedIn, probably more, but for me, there's two. One is that it's a database. It's a great place for you to search for your ideal clients and your prospects. You can search by name. You can search by title, industry, location. And if you have Sales Navigator, you can go even deeper. And so in that way, it's a database to find people. But we also have to realize that LinkedIn's a 24-hour day, 365-day a year networking room where you can meet people. I'm in New York in the US and you're in Sydney, Australia, 16 hours away. It's Thursday night here. It's Friday morning there, you know, but here we are, we're talking. Why? Because of the power of LinkedIn. And so I believe we have to marry those two worlds together. I think there's some people that just think of it that as that database. And that's what LinkedIn's getting to be known. You said earlier in the week that I listened to about using LinkedIn in 2023. What we have to realize is I'm looking at my board. We're all expecting spam on LinkedIn. It's what it's getting known for. And as Todd Capone talks about in his History of Sales podcast, as salespeople, we break every good new technology that comes out. We ruin it. right? And so that's, I think it's kind of be expected that that's happening on LinkedIn now.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you, Todd. So we do. We break everything, don't we? We break the phone, we break email. We've broken the phone, we've broken email. Interesting, the thing about phone is I think we broke it, and now it's probably more relevant now than it ever has been, if you can do it, because there's a bit of space there, you know, if you can stand out.
Because people haven't. And that's kind of, so I'm writing, but you notice the other thing here, All Selling is Social. So I'm writing a book called All Selling is Social. And it's under this idea, when I was in social sales training, all of the big social sales trainers will tell you that's the only way to go. It's the only way to do it. You cold call. It's 2023. You shouldn't be cold calling. Why? Because they want to protect their space. And what happens is, you know, there are people that did that years ago with phone. You know, social, what are you bothering at? The way, you know, pick the phone up. And now they've embraced social because the pandemic just changed that. But what happens with us with sales methodologies is we get stuck in echo chambers. And an echo chamber simply is just when you're involved in a community or space that has only one way of thinking. And all of the research you do, all of the articles you read, all the people you interact with reinforce those beliefs in that chamber, and you never think of outside sources. So that happens, I think, in social selling training, in email marketing, in copywriting, and in phone, all of those. But if we realize that there's a social element to all sales methodologies, you know, you've got your golf shirt out, you're going to go golfing later today. Let me ask you, Mark, when you get up on the first tee, are you going to use your putter as your first club, right?
No.
You're probably going to use either an iron or a wood or a driver, depending on how far the yardage is on that. And as you get closer, you're going to use different clubs. And that's what all these sales methodologies are. They're like golf clubs in a regulation golf bag. You have 14 clubs. You're never going to use your driver on the putting green. You know, you're never going to use your putter off of the tee box. You're going to use the appropriate club for the appropriate shot. And it's the same with us in sales methodologies. We have to use the appropriate methodology that's going to help us reach our client. And we have to be able to vary that. And there's no one that's always going to be the magic button, the easy button that we click and hit, and everything's all better. And that's the problem today, is too many people are looking for that.
Well, and I think too many people are selling that. That's what.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
and when you package what you've just said, those two pieces together, you know, humans have got a confirmation bias, right? So we naturally look for things to support our beliefs or the things that work best for us. So if you don't like making phone calls, and most people don't, regardless of whoever you are, I make phone calls every week, cold. It's hard work. I still get sweaty palms. You know, I get nervous. Mm-hmm. I have to role play my phone calls, believe it or not, with my business partner before we start making them. But I make them. And once I've made my first one, it's and away we go. It's easier.
Yeah.
But if you've got a confirmation bias that says I'd rather not be making phone calls, then all of the marketing material that you see from trainers talking about cold email, email is the best way, you know, or social is the best way, you're going to gravitate towards those. So if we're not conscious of the fact that we've got these internal biases, it's really easy for us to end up believing what we want to believe, not what is true. And this was explained to me in a really interesting way, and a confirmation bias. So, Bill, imagine you and I both retired today, okay? And we got seven figures, but your seven figures is all in shares, right? And my seven figures is all in cash. And we were to read this Wall Street Journal, we read the same paper back to front, and then somebody, the same paper, and somebody asked us what our investment strategy would be based on the information that we've just seen, you would say, well, shares were the way forward, and I would say cash is the way forward. So that's same paper, same money.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think, you know, as salespeople and, you know, just human beings, we've got to be conscious of these biases that pull us. And the thing is, everyone thinks that they're above the bias. You're not, because we're all just human and we've got the same psychological impacts.
And this week right now, where we're in the last week, you can't open up LinkedIn without seeing it, or any other news online news source without seeing the company ChatGPT. You know, AI is what everyone's talking about. So let's throw that in the mix, because that the algorithms, whether on Facebook or Instagram or LinkedIn or TikTok, what you search out, they're going to reinforce. So, you know, there's even, so it's so hard to break away from the gravitational pull of that echo chamber that you have to be, you have to be really consistent, but you also have to be determined to do it. And, you know, this happened to me in a social setting, you know, a few years ago here in the States when we were going through tremendous race problems. And my wife and I are obviously white and Caucasian, but we had friends who were people of color. And we made it a point to seek them out and to sit them down and to talk to them and ask them questions. And they opened our eyes to a world that we knew nothing about. And that really kind of showed me that, yeah, there are these echo chambers, and we really do have to be consistently and determinedly to move away from them. And so for the salespeople to listen in, you know, I'd say whatever way you're predominantly using right now to reach out, go do some research on whatever the opposite of that is. You know, if it's easy for you to hit that email that sends 500 emails out and you get 2 responses back, go look at phone call, go make some calls. You know, whatever that is, if you're only doing calls, go look at social and go study that. You know, I can remember being with Social Sales Link and watching a webinar of some very famous trainers, sales trainers, who just bashed, and this is like 2018, just absolutely bashed social completely. Yep, phone was the way to go. And 2 years later, all those same sales trainers all have social selling programs now, right? Because things change. And I don't say that to ridicule them. I actually say them to applaud them. They looked at things and said, nope, the phone's not going to work in this situation. We need to have another club in the bag. You know, even though I don't hit the hybrid very well, I need to have it. And for those of you who aren't golf people, that's a golf club. But so that's what we have to be willing to do. And too often we're too comfortable.
Yep.
And that's one of the problems.
And I remember those sales trainers, and they were very, very antisocial. And you can see the transition as they've now moved to a more genuine omni-channel approach is the way that they're approaching it. Yep.
And to be fair to them, that's who their customer was. Their customer, you know, they were the CMO, the CSOs and the VPs of sales and business development they were selling to didn't want their people on social, you know, especially on LinkedIn, because we, you know, we can get into the football analogy, because if you talk to most people, they're going to tell you LinkedIn is a place where you go to find a job, you know, and what I say is LinkedIn is like an American football team, especially on this broadcast. I have to explain that, not because football is different down there, but an American football team, it's not one team. It's actually 4 teams, right? There's an offensive team. There's a defensive team. There's a special team. And then there's the often forgot coaching team. So LinkedIn in like manner, like LinkedIn isn't one platform. It's actually 4 platforms. You could probably break it up even more, but it's a job hunting and searching and recruiting platform. It's a marketing platform for companies as well as content creation. Then it's a sales and a networking platform. And it's a coaching platform for people like me and other social sellers that train on it. And so when you're looking at people who train on LinkedIn, make sure you're hitching your wagon to the person who's training the way you're going to use it. You know, that has a lot to do with it. There are a lot of great features on LinkedIn that probably aren't good if you're just looking for a job, you know, and likewise, if you're just going to be using it for sales and marketing, you know, or sales and networking, sorry. So, you know, we have to look at that. And so, you know, that's really where I've been focusing on is, okay, let's figure out, Mark, you know, how do you want to use LinkedIn? What are your goals? And then let's build something that you'll actually use from there. And that's what's really changed in the way that I teach LinkedIn and I share with people. And I don't know if I said it yet. I don't call it social selling anymore. I call it digital selling. And I talk about the digital diamond, and there's 4 points to the digital diamond: your profile, making sure your profile is not all about you, because nobody cares about you. But you want to have something about you in it. The second point is your network, making sure you're building a quality network that's actually going to engage with you. The third is content and consistency, posting on a regular basis and posting content that people will want to consume. And then the last is conversations. Are you moving those connections and those comments to conversations on a Zoom or in person or over the phone? Because if you're not, then you're just spinning your wheels. You know, if your idea is to go viral and to get hundreds and thousands of followers, okay, good luck. Go have fun. But as Mark Hunter says, you can't take clicks and likes to the bank.
No, you can't. You can't. But, the people that promote that content-led, post and they will come kind of approach to LinkedIn and social more broadly, I think you'll find that's the way those trainers get their business, but it's not the way that salespeople are going to get their business. So I think there's a real misrepresentation is probably the politest way that I can say that about taking money from people and running courses. Sure, people do their own research. They do. But sales will always be a game of interruption. And I mean that, polite interruption. And interrupting at the right time. And as soon as you take that away, in my opinion, it's your marketing, right? So building awareness is a marketing tool. Sure, when you make a cold call to somebody who you don't know and you have a conversation and they're not in a position to buy or they don't want to buy, you're building awareness. But the goal of that phone call is to start a conversation, right? The awareness is the byproduct, right? One of the other byproducts might be a meeting or it might be a sale or it might be a call me back or there's a whole bunch of other things. But we shouldn't be doing cold calling to build awareness that because if you were, that would be a marketing function, in my opinion. So feel free to tell me otherwise.
No, I totally agree. And so what's happened is you've got these trainers or these organizations or whatever we want to say that say, hey, I can show you a way that you can reach out to 1,000 people on LinkedIn a week or 500 people on LinkedIn a week. And all you have to do is hit a button. Right. So it's automation. And we've talked about it before when I've been here. I believe in using automation to present information. I don't believe in it for starting, conversations. You know, you wouldn't send a robot to a networking meeting, but it's real. It's very popular because it's easy and people want easy. And so what happens is you reach out to all these people and what is the use of it? You're not going to start a conversation for that. And listen, most of the automation that's out there, while it's legal for those companies to produce it, right? Because LinkedIn lost a lawsuit. So their API is public. You're violating LinkedIn's terms of use most likely by using that software. And so the company's not going to get in trouble. You're going to open up your profile one day and realize that you don't have access to it anymore. And that can be for 24 hours. I've heard people up to 72 hours have been locked out of their profile. If it happens three times, three strikes, you're out, you're done. You're off LinkedIn. And I know people like that. They can still see their profile, but nobody can find them and nobody can see them. So, you know, how's that work for brand awareness, you know, for your personal brand? So you have to look at it and realize that there's no easy button. And if you find something that works like that, great, then use it. But LinkedIn changes all the time. And one of the things that I was leery about, especially when posting content, is I don't want to hitch myself to that wagon and have to worry about when they change one thing in the algorithm and suddenly I went from 3,000 views of a post. Now I'm down to 200. I'm on TikTok, but I don't use it. But I just watch videos and I see so many of them talking almost daily about the change in the algorithm, how it's hurt them and listen, anytime on social, on digital, we're at the control of those people, whoever they are that are tweaking the algorithm. And when I talked about LinkedIn being, four different platforms, a lot of the times they're tweaking that platform, not for you who want to use it for sales. They're tweaking it for people creating content, the Gary V's and the Bill Gates, the people who have millions and millions of followers. That's who they're tweaking it for, not for Jim Hunter, who is the, a sales rep for a software company in Des Moines, Iowa. They don't care about Jim, if that's the name I use. I don't even remember. It's bad when I start trying to do that kind of funny thing. But yeah, it's so we have to have all the clubs in our bag and we have to be willing to use them all. That's really the main thing.
So summarizing, you know, mass outreach, like I think everybody that listens to this podcast would know by now that, you know, that's not something that I think works. I'm very much focused on quality. You've obviously come on. So we talked about an echo chamber, and this is obviously a bit of an echo chamber at this podcast and certainly this conversation, because I've got you on because I agree with you. Let's acknowledge that. But what should people be doing? Like, what do you think people should be doing now? So, okay, we know that LinkedIn has got its challenges right now, and I don't think it's going to get better anytime soon. So, I guess double barrel question: what do you think? What should we be doing? And is LinkedIn going to get any better or worse? What do you think?
I think it's going to be worse. They keep saying that they're going to police things, but we don't see that. We don't see that happening. That's kind of a hit or miss. But what should you be doing? Is when you're reaching out to people, you should be doing it in a personal way. You should have a reason for wanting to contact them. It's easy to look at someone's profile and take 3 or 4 minutes to look at someone's profile and see something there that resonates with you that you can connect with them on. You know, hey, Mark, wow, I saw you're at the golf course the other day. And listen, maybe just comment on some of their content. If they prolifically create content that you can see a lot of, engage in that content. You know, I never refuse anybody that asks me to connect with me if they've engaged on my content and said things. We're back to the echo chamber, but really, I want to be around people and have people in my network that respect that, right? If somebody comes at me with a sales pitch, I'm much less leery or much less likely to accept them until we've had a conversation. And I always have a conversation and find out, because if they're doing that to me, they're going to do that to my network, and my network's valuable to me. What were you going to?
Yeah. So what about 95% of the people that aren't posting a lot of content? You know, you go to their activity, you press activity and you go and have a look and, you know,
there's nothing.
Bill's just like this, or he might've said good job, you know, like, and you're like, man, how do I say nice comment? I like your good job. The way that you like space that out was just, you know, really special.
But, yeah. Well, so a lot of lurkers, there are a lot of lurkers on LinkedIn that just kind of look around and they see. So look at their company page. Is their company doing a great initiative that you can resonate with, that you can comment on? Google them and find out what's going on. Maybe they've been mentioned in an article. That's going to take a little bit more time. But, you know, the other option you can do is, and this is a, this will surprise you. Just send a connection request with no note and see if they reply. And no, so really, so about a year ago, this study came out that said, that more people will accept a connection request blindly than they will with a note, because they think the note's a sales pitch. Now, I always send a note.
We had a podcast arguing about this.
We did. We absolutely did. And so, but if you send one now you're separating yourself, but you have to have a follow-up that adds value, that says, you know, so if I saw that your company did a great initiative in Sydney, something that was close to my heart, maybe I send you a connection request blind. When you accept it, then I come back and say, hey, Mark, and the reason I accepted was I saw what your company's doing and I thought it was great. You could do that in a connection request message also, but have a reason. And, you know, yes, we want to sell to them because they're a prospect, but we have to get to know them first. You know, I don't know if you're my ideal prospect, you know, you fit my ICP. I don't know if we're going to be able to do business together. First of all, you might not pay. You might be one of those companies that never pay me. I don't want to do business with that. These are not the clients you're looking for. You know, what we have to do is you said it, we have to interrupt them, but I believe in doing it authentically. And, you know, part of selling from the heart, we talk about the trust formula, and there's two sides to the trust coin. One is authentic relationships, and the other is meaningful value. And we have to do both. We have to build an authentic relationship. So I want to authentically connect with you, partly because you're my ICP, but also because I want to be curious about Mark. So I know Mark likes to golf. I didn't know that before. All right. I also know Mike Mark loves to ride. You're an avid cyclist, right? I wouldn't call you a bike rider, right? Because it's a cyclist, because you're serious. Like, you wear the spandex and stuff. Like, me, a biker, I'm like out just pedaling like la, la, la. But you're serious. You're a cyclist, right? Yeah. So these are things I know about you. And on that, we can start building a meaningful relationship. But then I also have to provide our authentic relationship. Sorry. I also provide meaningful value. So I have to be valuable to you. And doing both of those things will help to build that trust. Because if you only develop authentic relationships, you have a lot of friends, but you're broke, right? You probably know people that you're really good friends with that you would never do business with for whatever reason, right? We'll leave that there. But the other side of the coin is if you only provide meaningful value, you're the smartest person in the room and nobody likes the smartest person in the room. We all know. Though you can think of someone right now that you're like, oh yeah, they think they know it all. And if you can't think of anyone, you might be that person. So oops. I'll leave that there. So, so back to what to do on LinkedIn. Be genuine, be authentic. Don't send these messages say, hey, Mark, I came across your profile today. Like when people say that, I'm like, did I leave it laying around? Like, or I love what you're doing at your company. Well, I've got three companies, right? Three companies that I'm listed as being presently employed with. Which one are you talking about? And what is it? What is it? Hey, Bill, this would be great. Hey, Bill, I checked out Selling from the Heart and I love that message. And it would be great to find out more about it from you. Or, that would be genuine. I'd accept that in a heartbeat. People are expecting spam. So the more to the point you can be, the more detail you can put in there, I think the more successful that you'll be on the platform, because people are expecting spam. And when you do the anti-spam, right, which is more authentic and more genuine, I think you have much more success on the platform.
Yeah. And I think as humans, we talked about confirmation bias, right? We look for patterns, mm-hmm. both good and bad. And so what's become a pattern? Hi, Mark. We're connected to a whole bunch of people. Like our network has got the same people in it or any version right. of that, or mm-hmm. I love what mm-hmm. you do. That has become a spam pattern. What happens is we see on one hand as we see that and think, oh, everyone's doing it. I should do it because, it must be successful. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, because everyone's doing it, it means that it's less likely to be successful. So you need to do something significantly different or different enough to break the pattern that when the person opens a connection request, they go, oh, this is not the standard connection request. Hang on, maybe they've actually spent some time here. Let me have a look. I've started, when people send me that, hey, Mark, you popped up in my LinkedIn feed and I thought we should mm-hmm. connect, whatever. LinkedIn keeps recommending you. So all these templates come from automation tools, by the way.
Right.
But if they're in my ICP, I would say, hey, Bill, not with that connection request, have another go. Right.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to use that.
So I asked them to have another crack. And then if they don't, it's automated, right? I had one yesterday who goes, on Wednesday, he said, okay. Well, I normally don't pitch straight away, and then gave me his pitch. I actually wanted him to do the opposite. And so he's gone all in. But even that's what, I've gone, okay.
Right. And so I've had a number of people that don't send me a connection, a note. And I have, so this is where I use automation. I use a magical text expander. So I have an automated thing that I can put out that says, thank you for your invitation to connect. Typically, I only connect with people I've either met in person or have had engagement with here on the platform. What was it about my profile that triggered the connection request? And I'll get back wow, I never thought of that. And this is what it was. Many times I get nothing. But I had a new one the other day was I had an AI generated message that was somebody I was connected with. He had done automated software before. And we had had this whole conversation about automation and how I didn't go for it. We had a very respectful conversation. We agreed to disagree, but I accepted him in my network. He sent me this whole AI generated message about his new AI software that he just developed and saying, hey, I'd like to talk to you about it. And then, oh, and PS, this message was done using this. And I came back to him and said, that's great. But you know what? If you had read my other message, which the AI can't do, you'd see that I probably wouldn't be into this, but I might be interested in having a conversation about it. And so this is coming. AI generated connection requests are coming. AI generated messaging is coming. And that's when you said, is LinkedIn getting worse? I don't see how LinkedIn's going to stop that. And so am I talking to a person or am I talking to a robot?
Ooh, is this the start of the end for LinkedIn, Bill?
Yeah. Skynet, right? Yeah. Yeah, we probably shouldn't go there.
No, I can tell you're about the same age as me because you've used the same reference points all the time.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So, Bill, really appreciate coming on for the third or fourth time. It's at least third. I had in my mind it was the fourth. It is third. You seem very confident about that. Okay, we'll go with third.
That doesn't see all the gray hair. That doesn't mean anything, Mark. Anything.
So, sounds like you're on LinkedIn a fair bit. Can people get in contact with you? Should they? What should they send in their connection request? You know, how do they get more Bill?
Yeah. So just find me on LinkedIn, Bill McCormick. You'll see a big Selling from the Heart banner, and send me a connection request and say, hey, I saw you on the Boss Podcast. I'll be sure to connect with you. Or if you want to email me, bmccormick@sellingfromtheheart.net. And would love to have a conversation, especially if you disagree with something here. And I don't want to argue with you. I want to hear your point of view because I don't always want to be in my echo chamber. Mark and I have spent enough time here in the echo chamber here today.
Bill, thank you very much for coming on once more to the Boss Podcast. I love your efforts. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. And again, I'll continue to be the most appearing guest on the podcast. I've never had that title, so I'm all for it. Thanks, Mark.
Pleasure.